and I know it's gonna be a lovely day.
Good morning and welcome to Thursday morning, Evan Bray. Great to have you here on another busy day. We've got lots lined up on the show today. I'm looking forward to a chat we have coming closer to 10 o'clock. We've had advocates like General Rick Hillier, Lieutenant Colonel Ed Stanowski on the show, former Canadian Armed Forces members, working tirelessly to see that the Victoria Cross is awarded to Canadian soldiers like Regina's own Willie McDonald. The Victoria Cross last awarded to a Canadian soldier at the end of World War II. It's not been since then it's happened, but there is a move afoot. And in fact, this was a topic of discussion at the Saskatchewan legislature yesterday. Today, we will welcome Willie McDonald, former Canadian Armed Forces member, to talk not only about his time in the service, but a day that marks a tragic day in the service and how his efforts saved the lives of fellow soldiers and the efforts to bring back this prestigious military award. So we'll talk about that a little bit closer to 10 o'clock. Also, after 11 today, we're going to talk antique. Saskatoon historian, author, administrator of Historic Saskatchewan Facebook group, Tom Chalewski, who we have had on the show before, is here to talk antiques. We'll talk trends. We'll take questions. Open up the phone and text lines for you there as well. Speaking of open lines, that's coming up at 9 o'clock. We got lots to go on today. Let's get cracking with today's big talker.
Let's get down to business, shall we?
Welcome. Let's begin.
The Evan Bray Show. The Big Talker.
Well, when you think about our country, of course, there's the stereotypes. People think about snow and hockey and maple syrup. We have heard recently the Prime Minister talking about making us an energy superpower. Well, we have a leader right here in Saskatchewan that talks about we need to be an agriculture and food superpower. And there's things that can be done to make that happen. Frank Hart, who we have had on the program before, is a former Saskatchewan Deputy Minister of Economic Development and Trade. He's the former Chief Executive of Crown Investment Corporation and former President of Greystone Managed Investments, now does some consulting and recently wrote a great op-ed in the Globe and Mail. It was talking about being an ag and food superpower that our country could be, but we're not there yet. Frank Hart is joining me today in studio. Frank, thanks for being here.
Well, thanks for having me, Evan.
So your op-ed, I've got a copy of it here in the Globe and Mail. It's from a couple of weeks ago, and you call Canada an agriculture and food superpower. Why do you say that?
Well, because I think the world needs more of us. I mean, you've heard, you know, various Saskatchewan politicians saying that on and on about Saskatchewan's capability. You know, there's, you know, if you look at sort of Asia, which is a growing market, you know, 2 billion more middle class consumers in that market over the next 10 years can't produce enough food for that market. And as, you know, people get wealthier, they want more protein in their diet. And, you know, we've got a lot of protein locked in our crops and in our, obviously in our beef and hogs and poultry and dairy. So, you know, those are big opportunities. And as I said, when we were on the show back in May, we tend to sell that stuff as commodities and we lose a lot of value because if we process it here, there's probably, you know, a fivefold at least increase in terms of how much money we can make here in Saskatchewan or in Western Canada processing those crops domestically before we sell them.
I noticed in your article in the Globe and Mail, you basically, you say our country's a superpower when it comes to ag and food, but you also say we have to start acting like one. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think in, you know, my simplest version of that would be to just, you know, have the country start talking about it like we've been talking about energy. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, in energy, of course, I think Canada is like the third largest oil reserves in the world or something like that. And I think, you know, the country's sort of woken up and said, okay, let's, you know, we need to develop that resource. You say the same for agriculture. This opportunity in agriculture is every bit as big as a pipeline to the West Coast for energy. And we just don't talk about it enough.
You talk about, and you know, I remember a talk I heard you do back in the spring of this year. I can't remember your exact words, but you said we ship our commodities close to dirt. Like it's basically out of the ground and to the rest of the world without kind of that value add here. Right. Are there impediments in Canada, or is it just that we've become complacent, realizing and leaning on our commodities?
Well, I think we've become very good at growing commodities. I mean, you know, we had, notwithstanding the weather conditions that were a bit erratic this summer, I think the largest crop we've ever produced, right? So, we continue, the crop genetics continue to get better. The farmers continue to get better. We're leaders in the application of, you know, on-farm technology, all that sort of stuff. So we've really honed our skills as a commodity producer. What we are sitting on is a valuable resource, like oil in the ground, that needs to be, you know, improved and made into a product that somebody will pay more for. And that's really the missing opportunity.
Is, if we look at a graph of the productivity increases just in agriculture in Canada, I'm going to guess there would be a point in time a few decades ago, or maybe within the last decade, where we've seen that productivity grow exponentially. Are we at a point now where our ability to grow productivity is becoming a little more limited? And that's why the value add is an important one to lean into?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we've reached the limits on crop genetics yet or farming technology. I mean, you know, who would have said 30 years ago we could be producing the kind of crop volumes we're producing off the same acreage, you know, we had 30 years ago.
Right.
So we haven't seen the end of that road yet, but we are missing a huge opportunity. Like I was doing the math the other day on this, and, you know, if we process 20% of our crop, it would be equivalent to the whole economic or GDP impact of the entire primary agriculture sector. And we're still exporting 80% of our product as raw commodity, but we've doubled the size of our agri food industry just by processing 20% of it. So it gives you a sense of that fivefold increase that could come, right?
Yeah. If we... Okay, let's say we can provide a secondary market here in Saskatchewan or in Canada for this value add piece.
Yeah.
Do the producers of the commodity, whether it's the farmers, the ag sector in general, do they still get the same price for their product, or is there a difference in price between what we would export it to other countries for and what you might sell it to a secondary market here for value add?
Yeah, well, of course, every farmer knows markets go up and down, but the difference in having a processing plant down the road from your farm is that you've got two customers. You've got the folks that have invested a lot of money in plant and equipment to process your grain or livestock.
Right.
And then you've got the export market, right? And so if I'm selling to two customers and they have to bid for my product, it's a better deal for me as a producer.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is it costs the producer, you know, anywhere from 70 to 90 bucks to ship that ton of grain from the farm to the export market. Whereas if I'm just shipping it down the road, it might cost me 20 or 30 bucks, depending on how close I am to the processing plant.
Right.
So I'm pocketing 60 or 70 bucks potentially in my jeans that I wouldn't be able to do if I was just selling to the export market.
Do we have good examples in, let's say, Saskatchewan right now, where we are doing a better job of leaning into that value add piece?
Yeah, I think, I mean, you know, shine a spotlight on Yorkton. You've got like major expansion of canola crush there.
Right.
Louis Dreyfus Company has just, I think they're just in the process of finishing off their pea processing plant. There's other plants that I know of that are being contemplated by that area. So you're going to see Yorkton emerge as a very good food processing hub in Saskatchewan. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize that, but there's been billions of dollars invested there over the last few years.
Frank Hart is my guest. The most recent position, Frank, was in the interim CEO spot for Protein Industries Canada, but done work with government, done work in the private sector, and talking about his article he co-authored in the Globe and Mail, talking about Canada as an agriculture and food superpower, but we need to start acting like it. I remember you speaking once at an event, and you talked about multi-factor productivity. Is that what you're getting at with this value add piece?
Well, yeah, to a large degree, because multi-factor productivity is you're looking at labor, capital, market knowledge, innovation, a whole range of things that go into the mix to create a more competitive company and a more competitive economy. And that's really, it's bringing all the piece parts together to capture the most amount of value you can out of that product that we're so good at producing today.
I was just set up at Agribition there last week, record-breaking year for Agribition in the city of Regina. And again, I'm going to come back to a speech that you had given where you talked about finding a way to be innovative, to market our assets and to commercialize our assets. I feel like at Agribition, there were lots of great examples. We are very innovative in this province, and the ag sector in general tends to be that way. Mm. It's just we need to keep pushing it. We need to get over that goal line.
Yeah, and I think the last federal budget that came out in November made some interesting moves that are helpful. One is the accelerated depreciation on buildings and equipment for manufacturing and processing. Mm-hmm. So if you start running those numbers for a new plant, then you have to build it between now and 30 to get the full 100% accelerated deduction. Depreciation is a non-cash expense, which means you get to deduct it, but you keep the cash in the company. What it does, that one tax change will change the cash flow dramatically for a new investment. Mm-hmm. And so it's a major factor. It's effectively dropped our manufacturing and processing tax rate in Canada down from 10% down to 0.4%. And then on top of that, you've got the Saskatchewan Value Added Tax Credit that will kick in when you make money as well at 15%, going all the way to 30%, depending on the size of the plant. So the tax incentives are very strong now in Saskatchewan and Canada mm-hmm. to do this. And we'll have to see how that translates. But this is now for entrepreneurs to step up and say, okay, now I can make some real money in this business. Mm-hmm. And the government's behind me on it. And hopefully that'll start to translate into more of this stuff that we want to see.
That's what we are definitely hearing loud and clear in the energy industry. Because if you want to attract investment, you need to have kind of all of the building blocks that incentivize that. Regulation has to be one of them as well. How are we on that front? In the ag and the food industry, are we over-regulated? Is there some room to back off there?
Yeah, I think so. I think that if you talk to a lot of the conservative MPs, they would focus heavily on that issue. And it is a problem. But again, you know, the federal government put $70-some million into modernizing the Canadian Food Inspection Agency, which, you know, needed that money. Mm-hmm. But the other thing about it is that a lot of that money is going into figuring out how to change the regulations on food and agriculture in Canada so that they can be harmonized for trade. So you saw when Prime Minister Carney was in Southeast Asia, he's initiated free trade discussions with Indonesia. I think Thailand and Philippines are also in that mix. There's a $750 billion food market in those three countries alone, you know. So those are the kinds of things that the CFIA needs to get in harmony with the regulations in those countries, so it's easier to ship, finished food products into those regions.
I didn't twig on this or ask you to kind of pull it out a little further, but earlier on in one of your answers, you talked about as the world population grows and as people become more wealthy, they crave more protein in their diet.
Right.
Can you explain what you mean by that and how that's an emerging trend in other countries that we could capitalize on?
Yeah. So, it depends on how much money what your discretionary income is and, you know, how much money you can afford on food. And starch is a cheap ingredient. So people that have low incomes tend to eat a lot of food with starch in them. And as we know, protein is a pretty important component in our diets. And so, you know, you'll often see, you know, people that are well off sometimes with better health outcomes. Some of that, I think, is related to the amount of protein they ingest in their diet. And so as people get wealthier, one of the first things they do is they improve their diets. And that is happening in a big way in Southeast Asia. And the problem is they don't have enough of their own domestic production capacity, which is why they increasingly are looking to Canada mm-hmm. as a place to do it, to get the source material to increase that protein. And we've got it in abundance. It's locked in our crops. It's in our beef. It's in our poultry. It's in our hogs. It's in our dairy product. And we have to find ways to process that, get it to market.
Frank, I always enjoy having you on the show. In 30 seconds before we wrap up, you said you're working on another piece that might end up out there connecting food and defense spending. Can you just touch on that quick?
Yeah, so in one of my careers in the past, I was part of a group that Defense Advisory Council. So we sold technology to militaries, and I spent a lot of time with retired generals. And what they would always tell me is that food security and the lack of it is one of the first indications you're going to have to deploy military someplace. I think in Canada's role as a defense provider, and you know we've seen big increases in the defense budget in this last budget. We need to think about food in part of that because Canada can play a really important role in helping people get more food secure in the world, mm-hmm. and that will reduce civil unrest, strife, migration, all kinds of things like that. So I think it's an important role for Canada to play, and I'd like to see it considered as part of our defense budget.
I'll be watching for that off.
Okay.
Frank, thanks so much for popping in this morning.
Okay, great to be here.
Frank Hart, you're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.